we're going to be in Acts chapter 20. So if you have your Bibles, open up to Acts chapter 20. Today we're going to be in Acts chapter 20, looking at verses 7 through 12. Acts chapter 20, verses 7 through 12. The title of today's sermon is, "It's Dangerous to Fall Asleep in Church." It's dangerous to fall asleep in church. Oh, I feel some conviction coming on already. Acts chapter 20, verses 7 through 12. It is dangerous to fall asleep in church. That's the title of the sermon today. Let's look at God's word. It says, "Now on the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul, ready to depart the next day, spoke to them and continued his message until midnight. There were many lamps in the upper room where they were gathered together, and in the window sat a certain young man named Eutychus, who was sinking in a deep, deep sleep. He was overcome by sleep, and as Paul continued speaking, he fell down from the third story and was taken up dead. But Paul went down, fell on him, and embracing him, said, 'Do not trouble yourselves, for his life is in him.' Now when he had come up and broken bread and eaten and talked a little while, even till daybreak, he departed. And they brought the young man in alive, and they were not a little comforted." Let's bow our heads and go to the Lord in prayer today. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you, God, so much for your word. Thank you, God, for the service, for all the people that gathered here today in your name, Lord. God, I pray that we would just come and we'd worship you, Lord. Whatever is on our hearts, Lord, let us just enjoy and rejoice, Lord. But somebody may shout amen in the middle of the sermon. Somebody may say praise the Lord. Other people might stand. God, let people worship how they're comfortable worshiping, Lord. We're not here for me. We're not here for each other. We're here to worship you, Lord. So God, cleanse our hearts and our minds and our souls, and let us just become one as we spend time with you today, Jesus. Thank you for everything that you've done, but thank you most. You died on the cross for our sins so that we too someday will be able to go to heaven. Thank you, Lord, for it's in your name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Now, you know, they say that honesty is the best policy, right? Anybody heard that before? Honesty is the best policy?
Amen.
All right, so I'm going to ask you an honest question, and I want an honest answer. Now, how many times have you heard me as a pastor get up here and preach on and on and on, and you fell asleep during one of my long-winded sermons? Raise your hand if that's happened. Okay, now I know exactly who to pick on. Thank you very much. Appreciate that. Now, you see, you think it may be harmless to sleep in church, right? It might be harmless to sleep in church. But I want to share with you that it could be dangerous. There was a story of this man who used to always fall asleep in church. And so the pastor, he got tired of that. He said, you know what? He gave one of his deacons this little yardstick. And if you've ever been to a Catholic school, like I have, you've had your knuckles hitting with one of those things before.
Amen.
So the pastor, he gives the deacon this yardstick. And he says, when that guy over there falls asleep, I just want you to tap him on the head. So he says, okay. And so here enough, the guy, sure enough, comes to the church and he's just, you know, and he kind of nods off and the deacon goes, taps him on the head and he wakes up and he's startled. And he's fine. The deacon looks at him. And then he starts to fall asleep a little again. And then his wife pokes him. And the guy wakes up again. And then he starts to fall asleep again. So the deacon just takes that stick and he hauls off and he hits him so hard, the guy flies out of the pew and falls on the ground. And you'd think that church member, he'd be mad, but he gets up and he goes, "Please hit me again, I can still hear him preaching." Man, the pain and suffering. But you see, sleeping in church is not only dangerous, it can also get you in a lot of trouble if you're not careful. A man went to church and he was falling asleep too, and his wife kept poking him like, "Honey, you can't fall asleep in church." So the wife was so mad, she said, she got with the pastor and she said, "We got a little plan to get my husband under control." So the pastor said, "Okay, that's fine, we'll do that." So what happened is they went to church and the lady, her husband started to fall asleep. And so the pastor really quietly said to the congregation, "All who want to go to heaven, please rise." And everybody in the church stood up except for the guy that was sleeping. So then at the top of his voice, he bellowed, "All who wish to go to hell, stand up." And boy, the guy woke up and he stood right up. And everybody else was sitting down. And he goes, "I don't know what we're voting for, Pastor, but it's just me and you in this one, brother." Man, oh man. Folks, when I was studying this passage this week, there is no way I could have not shared it with you. As I was reading the scripture, I was like, oh my goodness. I mean, I've read the Bible many times through and through, but I just didn't recall this. I said, I have got to share this with the congregation. So In the passage we're studying today, Acts chapter 20, it's interesting because Luke, he's the writer of this, and he's a physician, he's a doctor, so he knows when people are alive and when they're dead, right? And so Luke could have chose to write all kinds of different things about the book of Acts. It's kind of a fast-paced book. But what he does, he writes to us about this guy named Eutychus who falls asleep, falls out of a third-story window, and dies. I mean, really, who said the Bible wasn't exciting? That's pretty exciting stuff. So Luke could have told us about the Apostle Paul and how he was changed on the road to Damascus. Luke could have told us about all the churches the Apostle Paul would have founded and how he would have preached throughout all of Asia Minor. Luke could have told us how Paul was cast out of different cities. Luke could have told us about how Paul had gone through places and was shipwrecked and was beaten for dead. He could have told us those stories. Luke could have even showed the story about the land of Meridia. You remember that, where he was bitten by a poisonous serpent? But no, Luke didn't choose to share any of that stuff. Instead, he writes about this guy named Eutychus, whose name means good fortune. Now, is that funny or what? I mean, seriously, if your name is Eutychus and your name means good fortune, how do you fall out of a third-story window? You think that's fortunate? That's not very fortunate, falling out of a third-story window. But folks, this is a great and powerful message. So I want to share with you today, see what you can get out of the Word of God. I hope it blesses you the same way that it's blessed me. So the scripture starts with Paul. He's going in Troas, and he's there over time, and he starts developing relationships. And you know, as we go out through time, we develop relationships too, right? We develop them with our family and our friends. And so Paul's doing that. He's reaching out to people. He's talking to people in the community. And so then what happens is the scripture says there's a time coming when Paul's going to leave. And so the people are like, oh, man, we don't want Paul to leave. And you know, I kind of had an interesting circumstance like that too. In some of the Methodist churches, the pastors only stay there for 3 years. And then they're moved to different churches. And what happened was, I was here for 3 years. And when I was here on that third year, Sister Betty Pearson, she came up to the church. She had a little gift. She had a card. And you could tell her mascara or eyeliner was running a little bit. And I said, Miss Betty, are you okay? And she's like, yeah, I'm going to miss you so much. And I'm like, you're going to miss me? Where are you going? She's like, well, I'm not going anywhere, but it's been 3 years, so you have to leave. I'm like, well, is there some secret church meeting and I've been kicked out of the church? She's like, I don't know, not that I know of. I said, well, then why would I go anywhere? It's 3 years. Don't you have to leave in 3 years? I'm like, no, I'm not going anywhere. And she's like, oh, and she gives me this big hug. And she goes, well, I guess I can give you this card and this gift anyway. But it was great. She thought I was going to leave. And so, boy, she was sad. And so these people thought Paul was going to leave in Troas. And so they're like, we got to put together one big hoopla. We got to put together one big bang worship service before everything changes. And so what they did is they put together this great worship service on a Sunday evening. Now, for you that have friends that might be Seventh-day Adventists, this is a challenging scripture for them, because the problem is this is worshiping on the first day of the week. So this is one of the first times in the Bible you'll see that they started worshiping on Sunday instead of Saturday. And it was a Sunday night, which was kind of interesting too. And so they're getting ready to meet in this house on the third floor to have this long discussion, because Paul, he wanted to share everything he could before his time came. Listen to the scripture again in verses 7 through 12 from Acts 20. It says, on the first day of the week, we came together to break bread. Paul spoke to the people, and before he intended to leave the next day, he kept on talking until midnight. There were many lamps in the upstairs room where we were meeting. Seated in a window was a young man named Eutychus, who was sinking into a deep sleep as Paul talked on and on and on. While he was sound asleep, he fell to the ground from the third story and was picked up dead. Paul went down, threw himself on the young man, and put his arms around him, said, "Don't be alarmed," he said, "he's alive." Then they all went upstairs again and broke bread and ate. After talking until daylight, he left, and the people took the young man home alive and were greatly comforted. You see, in this set of scripture, you really have everything. You have people wanting to hear the word of God. Hey, that's great. You have a sermon by a great preacher, Paul. Can't ask for much better than that. You got a celebration of the Lord's Supper. You got a person who falls asleep, dies, and is raised from the dead. And then you got a person who gets together and they have more fellowship and preaching. I mean, what a great story. I can't imagine having an amazing Sunday evening service like that. That sounds pretty exciting. So I'll bet it was kind of exciting. If you think about from the point of Eutychus, here's this young man, a great young man, but he's going through some trouble. After all, he goes up to this evening service, and his reason is to be there is the same as everybody else. He wants to hear the Word of God. He's excited about it. I can imagine as Paul's preaching, he's trying to remember every single word that Paul says. But the problem is, the Bible says that Paul went on and on and on. Do you ever feel like I preach on and on and on, Hannah?
Amen.
Oh, man. Thanks a lot. Well, I just want to make a point. I have never preached until midnight like Paul has in this story. And so, but I just want to point something out. Besides me never preaching until midnight, you know, as pastors, we get a little hard time sometimes. People give us a hard time. They say, well, why are you so long-winded? I mean, why are pastors so long-winded? Why can't they just say what they need to say and shut up, right? I don't know, you feel like that ever? I'm sure there's some times. Well, in defense of me and all my other brethren that preach the Word of God, I'm going to share a couple reasons why we can't just be quiet. Well, one, there's so much that we have to say, we can't say it in just a couple points and then tell you a little story. I mean, this isn't bedtime service. The second thing is, we study all week long to prepare God's Word for you. And so when we're delivering a sermon, we've been studying for hours and hours and hours. And there's no way we could just wrap that up. We're so excited, we have to tell you what we learned. And I'll tell you, Paul, he was the same way. When Paul had the opportunity to preach, he just let it rip. And whatever happened, happened. He talked and talked and talked. And you can tell here, this man preached until midnight. So you should be thankful to have a pastor like me. Amen?
Amen.
Oh, that wasn't very convincing, but thank you, Brother Shannon. I appreciate that. So anyway, here's what I'm thinking. Paul, he's out here. He's trying to pour into the church because this is his last opportunity to be there. He doesn't know what's going to happen. He doesn't know if he's ever going to be able to go back. So he wants to tell him everything he can tell him before he leaves. And so, well, Paul had his heart on sharing as much as he possibly could. I'll bet for some it was hard to listen. Not because they didn't want to listen. Not because they didn't want to learn. But because it was night. And what do you do at night? Sleep. Right? Well, not Shannon. She works overnight. But most people sleep during the night. Right? And so Eutychus, I can imagine, his day had been long. His belly was full. His body was tired. The place was packed. The atmosphere was warm. There was a hypnotic glow of candles. And so he shook it off because he was trying to hear what Paul had to say. So he tried to reposition himself. And so he climbed in this window. He thought maybe that would help, but his eyes just kept closing. And again, did I say Paul had been preaching a long time? Because it says he'd been going on and on and on. Do you get the point? On and on and on. Paul was preaching on and on and on. What was Paul doing? He was preaching on and on. Yes, you got the point. Verse 8 says he kept talking till midnight and he still went on. Now, I've heard the average adult attention span. I know the number. I was wondering, how long do you think the average adult attention span is? Who wants to take a guess?
30 minutes.
What do you think, Andrew?
5 minutes.
5 minutes? 8 seconds? I think that was a movie about bull riding. I don't know.
That was a commercial.
Oh, commercial. All right. Who else wants to take a guess?
An hour.
An hour? Deborah says 3 minutes. The average adult attention span is 14 minutes. 14 minutes. And so what's interesting is people have said, no matter what kind of preacher you are, Tegan, it doesn't matter. You cannot hold a congregation's attention for 20 minutes. And some seasoned saints have said, if the preacher can't tell it in 20 minutes, you need to fire the guy. Please don't listen to that man. But what I say is, I don't believe that your attention span is that small because... check this out. Did you watch the Super Bowl and shut it off after 20 minutes?
No.
No. Did you go to the movie theater and walk out of the movie theater after 20 minutes?
No.
What about your job? Did you go to your job on Monday after 20 minutes and be like, nope, I'm out of here?
Yeah.
I didn't say, what do you want to do? I said, what did you really do? So to me, I'm like, no, if you can have an attention span for more than 20 minutes doing those things, how can you possibly not have an attention span to listen to somebody that's a preacher for 20 minutes about God's Word, the person you're supposed to love more than anything in the world? Psalm 118 verse 24 says, this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. And whether we talk about God's Word for 15 minutes or 3 hours, this is the Lord's day. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So let's give Eutychus the benefit of the doubt, though. So I want to help you understand what Eutychus is going through. Don't take advantage of me here. I'm trusting you. But go ahead and close your eyes. If you're able to, just close your eyes. I know this is a bad idea, right? Close your eyes. And imagine you're on the third floor in this warm room. You see the candle lights. There's a ton of people around. And over in the corner, you see this little boy, Eutychus, young man. And you see his eyes start to begin to grow heavy. He shifts his position, but he's still kind of nodding off. So he decides he's going to move right next to the window where that wind can blow on him. Because, you know, when you get tired, sometimes you roll the window down. That wind will keep you awake. So he's trying to do that. But it still doesn't help. His eyes grow heavier. His shoulders start to slump forward. His head starts to bob. You know how we're trying to fight off sleep, kind of like I've seen Brother George in the past. Sleep gets the best of him, and he falls into this deep, satisfying sleep. Then what happens is someone shouts, "Hey, he fell out the window!" You can open your eyes now. I don't want you to get too comfortable. This is church service, after all. And it is dangerous to fall asleep. But so it's hard for us to read about Eutychus without some of us having some flashbacks. Many of you raised your hand and said, "Yeah, Pastor, I've fallen asleep during some sermons before." And so if you're thinking about Eutychus, you can realize there's probably been some times where, you know, you had the very best intention. You wanted to stay awake, but you found yourself just fighting sleep. You had a hard day. You had a hard weeks of work. So you try moving around in your seat. You try getting that heaviness out of your eyes. You know, you try wiggling a little bit. You even hear your grandmother's voice in the back of your head like, "Boy, you better not be going to sleep in church." But still we struggle. Eutychus was dealing with that. So in verse 9, here's what God's word says. When he was sound asleep, he fell to the ground from the third story and was picked up dead. Man, poor Eutychus. Can you imagine? This guy had a great heart. He was in the right place. He's trying to learn. He wants to do the right thing. But the guy was just tired. And so he goes to church. Maybe his mom or dad sent him to church. Like, "Go on, Eutychus, little son. You need to go listen to Paul, you bad little child. You need to get a little education." They set him up there. And then they find out their son fell from a three-story window and died. Like, church should be a safe place, amen? Shouldn't be falling out any windows at church. But that's what happened. And so Eutychus fell three stories to his death. Now, some people would have blamed the boy. Well, he shouldn't have sat too close to the windows. Other people might have blamed Paul. Well, if Paul wouldn't have preached so long, we wouldn't have had this problem. But how would you feel if we were in church and something tragic like that happened? It would be a hard thing to think about, wouldn't it? Would you be able to trust Jesus would do something through that difficult time? I mean, if you're honest, some of you might say yes. Others of you might say no. I mean, if you fall from a three-story window, man, it's over. You're dead. But the story doesn't end there. Somebody did trust in the power of the Lord Jesus. Look at verse 10. It says, Paul went down, threw himself on the young man, put his arms around him. "Don't be alarmed," he said. And then he said he was alive. What a miracle. Now remember, Luke is a physician. So if Luke knows somebody's dead, they're dead. Right? And so this boy fell out of a three-story window. He died. There's no question about that. But Paul went to the boy, took him in his arms. And then he addressed the congregation. He said, "Don't worry. Don't be alarmed." They're probably looking at Paul like, does this guy realize the dude he's picking up is dead? But then he says these powerful, resurrection reminiscent words. He says, "He's alive," and the boy was alive. Now that's a miracle. You might be thinking, well, how could that be? Well, Paul realized that if we have faith in Jesus Christ, miracles can happen. The boy was indeed dead, but Paul believed there is power in the name of Jesus. Do you believe that, Brother Ron? Absolutely, there is power in the name of Jesus. And you know what Jesus said in Matthew 10:8? He said that he was going to call all these disciples to go and do what? To heal the sick, to cleanse the lepers, to raise the dead, and to cast out demons. And Paul believed that Jesus Christ working through him could help this boy. And he did. In John 14:14, Jesus said, "If you ask anything in my name, I will do it." So Paul, he demonstrated his faith in Jesus Christ. Not only did he preach to these people and share with them the word of God, but he demonstrated his faith in Jesus when this boy fell to the ground and was raised back again from the dead. How do you think that congregation felt then? They were probably pretty amazed, weren't they? So I guess nobody else fell asleep during the service, though. Verses 11, 12 says, "Then he went upstairs and he broke bread and he ate. And after talking until daylight, he left. The people took the young man home alive and they were greatly comforted." The people there were encouraged and strengthened by not only the things that Paul said, but by the way that that poor boy Eutychus fell from the three stories. And Paul, through Jesus Christ, brought him back from the dead. What a miracle that is. I'm telling you, maybe that's why Eutychus' name means fortunate. Because in the beginning, it didn't sound like he was too fortunate. But by the time you get to the end, isn't it amazing? He was fortunate to be raised back from the dead. Folks, this is the God that we serve today. He cares so much about us that he sends people to teach us, to encourage us, to minister to us, to restore us, and to love us. I'm going to share one more quick thought before I close. Today, as I was talking about this story that you might think is kind of funny, I thought it was kind of funny the first time I read it. But today, as I shared the story about Eutychus, maybe you've been thinking, well, you're not physically sleeping in church. Your eyes aren't closed. You're not falling asleep in church. But maybe spiritually you're sleeping. Maybe spiritually, it's been a while since you paid attention to the Word of God. Maybe you've been in church, you've sang the songs, you've listened to the pastor, but you haven't really put it to work in your life. Maybe you've been spiritually asleep as you think about what happened to Eutychus. Or maybe you're here today, and like Eutychus, you're just exhausted. I mean, you are just worn out, and what you need today is rest, and you need healing. The Bible says in Matthew 11, 28, it says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." Or maybe you're just here this morning and you're dealing with something that is so hard you can't solve it. You're dealing with a problem that is too hard for anybody in the world to solve. And you don't think it's ever going to be answered. Your prayers, you just think it's over. Well, that same God that brought Eutychus back to life, yeah, that's the same God we worship. And if he can create everything and if he can bring a man back to life, I think he can solve your problem too. If you have any need in your life today, whether it be rest, whether it be a need that you haven't had been able to be solved and you need Jesus, or maybe it's a thing in your life where you don't know if you died today, if you would go to heaven. You said, "I want to feel this love that Jesus Christ has for me." If you need to come pray about anything for any reason, you're welcome to come and pray. Let's stand and bow our heads as we go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for the message today. We thank you for this message about Paul preaching and sharing with these people, Lord. And God, we thank you for the miracle of bringing Eutychus back to life. Lord, I pray that if there's somebody here that's struggling with being physically tired or spiritually tired, God, you would just have them come to the altars today and that you would just restore them and give them rest, Lord, and strengthen them. I pray, God, if there's somebody here who's been spiritually sleeping, Lord, maybe they just haven't been doing what they should be doing lately. They haven't been praying, haven't been reading the Bible, haven't been living like a Christian. Maybe, God, that you would just call them up today and just say, let them bring that burden to you. Say, just rekindle my flame, Lord. I pray if there's somebody here that has a heavy burden on their heart and struggling to see how can they make it through, that they'll trust you to be able to take care of that burden for them, Lord. Lord, we know that Jesus Christ, your one and only Son, Jesus died on the cross for our sins. We know he paid the price, Lord, but not only did he die, he rose again. And God, I pray that we remember, just like Jesus rose, someday if we believe in him and we know him as our Lord and Savior, we're going to rise too, Lord. Someday we're going to be in heaven like Brother Larry, his dad is in heaven. So God, I just pray, Lord, today, if there's any burden on anyone's heart, Lord, let us come and bring it to you, Lord. You're the ultimate problem solver, the ultimate healer, the ultimate person that can take care of broken relationships, job hurts, financial problems, whatever we have, Lord. God, let us come and bring it at your feet as we sing this wonderful song of invitation, hymn 570, "He's Been So Good to Me."
My sins were as scarlet till Jesus came. He washed them whiter than snow. Now I find my delight in his lovely name. His joy is the strength of my soul. My my needs he has supplied, my longing satisfied. He's been so good to me. The Lord's been so good to me. Whenever I'm weary, he comes to me. So gladly my burdens he'll share. Been so good.